My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Football team's getting ready for a joint practice down in South Florida with the Dolphins. They play them in the preseason on Saturday night. Dan Quinn just held a press conference before, and when asked about the wide receiver two spot, he said, quote, "We're in the middle of searching," unquote. Closed quote, for our wide receiver too. And then he said a lot of players are in the mix, and he did mention that Zacchaeus has had a very good camp. You know, the discussion of competition, the discussion of a lot of players in the mix, the conversation the other day where he said we're trying to dig through and figure it out, outside, inside, slot, you know, etc. This is a true, honest conversation about competition. They are trying to figure out, other than Terry McLaurin, what do we have? Zacchaeus clearly is somebody they trust and will be on the field September 8th if he's healthy against Tampa. After that, who knows? By the way, in search of wide receiver two, you could actually have wide receiver two on your roster right now. His name could be Terry McLaurin if your wide receiver one was Brandon Ayuk. But that's another conversation. Not for another day, but just another conversation. Good morning, everybody. Albert Breer was at camp this week, and I read his summary of his day in Washington. Albert Breer, longtime NFL reporter with MMQB, Sports Illustrated. I always feel, and this is no slight to all of the local beat reporters or local broadcasters, for that matter, me included. I always feel like coaches, for whatever reason, coaches specifically in front office people, owners as well, are always more willing to share the truth, share information with some of the national well-known reporters more than the locals. This team's certainly been that way over a long period of time. Even in a new regime, I would expect some of that to continue. But there were a couple of things that Breer wrote that to me were revealing of things that were said to him. And I'm going to get to that here coming up in a few minutes. We've got a couple of guests on the show today. Ben Solak, I referenced him yesterday from ESPN. He wrote that lengthy piece about Brandon Ayuk, which was really eye-popping when it came to the kind of season he had last year. We'll talk to Ben about more than just Ayuk, just the receivers in the league in general. And the difference in evaluating receivers today versus even 5 or 10 years ago, and the progress that that position has made. You'll hear much of my conversation with Jay Gruden. He was on my podcast yesterday. Jay talked about training camp, what's important, what isn't, shared a couple of stories from training camps that he was involved in, and then got into what he saw from Jaden Daniels in particular. So you'll hear that during the show today. And yes, for those of you asking, am I going to talk about or explain the letter that Ted Leonsis wrote to Tom and me? Yeah, I'm going to talk about that. I did on my podcast yesterday, and Tommy will be on my podcast today. He's on with me every Tuesday and Thursday, and we will talk about it. But it's all good. It's a good, healthy conversation, but I will get into that here shortly. But I want to start the show with this. What do you got?
All right.
What do you got?
So our good friend... our good friend Sabah sent me something recently, and it was long and drawn out, but it was basically about Caitlin Clark and some of the numbers that have come in on Caitlin Clark here recently. By the way, Sabah is a massive Caitlin Clark fan, massive Caitlin Clark fan. And she shared this with me via direct message. And the reason I'm going to read through some of this stuff is I actually have a conclusion to the Caitlin Clark phenomena that would be totally unique in team sports. So Joe Pompliano, a longtime business sports reporter, put out the following numbers at midseason for the WNBA's Indiana Fever team. That's the team that Caitlin Clark plays for. Ticket sales sold out 100% of the season ticket inventory. Total attendance is up 264% from last year. 186,000 fans have attended home Indiana Fever games. 230,000 fans have attended Indiana Fever road games. In terms of merchandise, the increase in jersey sales from last year is 1,193%. Team store transactions from 2023 to current up 700%. And the team broke the franchise single game merchandise sales record four times during the first half of the Fever's season. Concession sales. Hot dog sales are up 300% so far this year. WNBA fans love hot dogs. Who doesn't? 2,826 gallons of draft beer have been sold. That's an increase of 740%. Here's something that I found to be pretty interesting. Social media metrics. Over 800 million views in the last 4 months alone of Indiana Fever's social media channels. They have added to their social media channels, Twitter, X, Instagram, etc., Facebook. They've added 1.3 million followers since April 15th, which I think was right around the time that they drafted Caitlin Clark, or the season began. I can't remember. And listen to this, Denton. The Indiana Fever have more social media views over the last 4 months than any other WNBA, NBA, NFL, NHL, or MLB team. Now, I recognize the NFL is not in season, but the last 4 months would incorporate the draft and all of the off-season stuff. And the Indiana Fever have more social media views than any other team in any other professional sport. In North America, anyway. TV viewership. 38 games on national TV, the most ever in the WNBA's history, the Indiana Fever. And they have set records for the most viewed WNBA games on ABC, on ION. What is ION? What network is that? I don't think I've ever heard of it.
I think it's relatively new, and it basically just streams WNBA games.
Okay. Set records for most viewed WNBA games on ABC, ION, ESPN, and NBA TV. And then in terms of corporate partnerships, 225% increase in partnerships for the Indiana Fever and the largest number of team sponsors in the WNBA. Not to mention, and Joe doesn't even mention it, the record-setting TV number in terms of revenues that the NBA is passing along as part of their $77 billion new television deal. This is also, as Joe Pompliano points out, these are numbers and we're only halfway through the WNBA season. So I was thinking about this. You know how leading up to the NFL draft, shortly after the college football season and early in the offseason, there was a lot of discussion about Caleb Williams and the father's conversation about, you know, what kind of situation Caleb would play in and which kind of conversation he wouldn't play in. That quieted down pretty quickly, and, you know, it ended up not being an issue. But for a while, they were wondering and asking for equity in the NFL team that drafted him. I mean, a rookie quarterback who had never set foot on the field, which I said, that's a joke. There's no chance that any existing NFL player would ever get equity as part of the overall compensation because one player in the NFL just doesn't matter. You know, we've seen the league with Tom Brady hurt. Nothing happens. If Patrick Mahomes breaks his leg in the opener, hope it doesn't happen, but the league will still be super healthy and continue to skyrocket in growth. You know, the NBA is one of those leagues where you could probably make a decent case that there have been certain players that have come around, LeBron maybe being one of them, you know, Steph in Golden State. We were talking about the valuations of sports franchises, the Sportico list, and Golden State is number two on that list behind the Cowboys. A lot of that has to do with Steph Curry. Because there are fewer players and it is a star-driven league, somebody could probably make the case that they deserve, you know, a half of a point or, a few shares through some sort of stock option plan in the business. But no owner would ever feel the need to give a player equity, you know. The NHL, obviously not. Major League Baseball, obviously not. She deserves a piece of the action. She deserves an ownership stake. And by the way, it would not be an ownership stake necessarily in the Indiana Fever, although I'm not completely sure whether I'm being accurate about this, because the NBA owns the WNBA or owns 65% of it or whatever it is. You know, the NBA has essentially for 26 years or whatever the number of years the WNBA has been around, they've kept it afloat by funding the losses year in and year out. And, you know, this phenomena comes around and the unbelievable, outrageous growth, which is all attributable to her. Bless Angel Reese's heart. In all due respect, she's one hell of a player and a hell of a rookie player. There's nobody that's been a needle mover for a sports league like Caitlin Clark has been for the WNBA since Magic and Bird in 1979 entering the NBA. Since Tiger Woods in golf. Those are the comparisons You know, Tiger Woods probably deserved a piece of ownership of the PGA Tour. You know, Magic and Bird, had it been, you know, something that somebody would have even considered in 1979, you know, Magic could have probably said to Jerry Buss, I need a half a percent of the Lakers. She deserves it. She should be the first athlete that gets a piece of the upside, that gets a piece of ownership. She's the one that is kept, that has turned this league around and will probably continue to do so, because it looks like she's going to continue to become or get better and better and become a star player. She's basically a star player right now. I'm not saying she's the best player, because she's not. Not now. But 2 or 3 years from now, she might be. I think the conversation over the years, and we've had it occasionally on the show about athletes and, you know, the idea that they deserve ownership stakes. No owner in the NFL is ever going to give a player a piece of the action. They already have a piece of the action. They get 48.5% of the revenues. Top line, not net revenue, top line revenue. So they're already, you know, revenue share partners, which in some cases is better than being an equity partner, because these guys don't sell their teams. You know, the only way to actually cash in on ownership is if you sell the team. Unless, you know, you've got other investors that come around and buy you out for, you know, a premium for, you know, in the case of Caitlin Clark, obviously you would give her some sort of earnout on shares. You know, you would give her options. Like over a five, you know, over the next 10 years, we're going to give you X amount each year that you're playing in this league of ownership. And maybe at the end of it, it equals, you know, a percent or 2%. I don't know what she would be worth. Somebody much smarter than I would have to figure that out. But I think this is the first real example in recent memory in sports where an individual player actually could ask for, justifiably deserve, equity, ownership in the team, in the league. You know, again, it gets a little bit, it's a bit of a gray area for me, because I'm not sure what the Indiana Fever ownership structure looks like. Is it mostly owned by the NBA? Are there other investors that own the other 35, 40%? Is it the NBA owner that owns the rest of the Indiana Fever? I don't know. I wonder if her agent or agency entered into those conversations when she came out and got drafted by the Fever. Is there free agency in the WNBA?
Yes, there is.
After how many years?
I believe it's 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
By the way,
well, that would be the time to capitalize.
The owner of the Indiana Fever is the same guy that owns the Pacers.
Herb Simon. Herb Simon, yeah. The shopping mall guy. I think that's the son of the original owner. Was it Herb Simon Sr., Mel Simon? I forget who it was. But they've owned the Indiana teams forever. She deserves it, though, man. I mean, the growth from what this sport was prior is just amazing. I mean, we haven't seen anything like this since Tiger in terms of the percentage growth. All right. Den and I are going to talk about something. We're going to do an NFL topic next, and it's specific to the upcoming season and who's got the most pressure on them entering 2024? Because I think the list is pretty long. There's some big seasons for some coaches and players and organizations in the league heading into 2024. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I forgot I was going to do this Ted thing first, which I will, and then we'll talk some NFL. And we do have an NFL guest later on in the show, Ben Solak from ESPN, and Jay Gruden will join us on the show as well. So, look, let me catch everybody up to speed. A lot of you have tweeted saying, what's going on with you and Ted Leonsis? Well, it's not me and Ted. It's me and Tommy. And Ted on the podcast the other day, I think Denton and I talked about this on the show on Monday, right? We did talk about this on the show. Ted the other day retweeted a tweet from Adam Tuss. Adam is a reporter, right, at NBC4. And he had tweeted out at the end of the Summer Olympics, as we wrap up the Olympics, a reminder that D.C. bid on the 2024 Games. Spoiler, we did not get selected as the host city, but this is what was envisioned. And he had a couple of pictures of you know, the new arena that would have been on the RFK site and new, you know, infrastructure all over town. Anyway, Ted retweeted that and quote tweeted that and wrote, "This will happen this will happen in the future, and it will be amazing for the city, region, country, and world. We learned a lot during our 2024 bid, and we'll apply those lessons. Excited for LA in 2028 and Salt Lake City in 2034. And so on the actually, Denton and I did talk about this. We talked about this on Monday's show, and Tommy and I talked about it at length on Tuesday's show on my podcast. And Tom's been very consistent. Tom's covered a lot of Olympics. He's been to many of them. And he's been very consistent in his criticism that the Olympics often leave the host cities in worse shape than when they arrived. And that the IOC is corrupt. And it's just not worth the juice ain't worth the squeeze to host the Olympics more times than not. And, you know, he essentially said what he said about any of these bids, that it would be a disaster if D.C. were to host the Summer Olympics. You would be left, holding the bag for the IOC's corruption and for essentially results that never end up looking like what they're projected to be. In fact, one of the things he mentioned to me is that in the 2024 bid, the original winner of the U.S. bid, the way it works is you bid for your country's, bid to then present to the IOC. So the U.S. will have one city that emerges from the bidding process with the USOC, the U.S. Olympic Committee. And Boston actually initially got the bid to be the U.S. city up for 2024 in front of the IOC. And the backlash from Boston's constituents, from the people that lived in Boston, was very negative. And so they pulled it. And then it went to L.A. L.A. didn't get 2024. They got 2028. So Tom has just pointed this out over and over again. So we had this conversation the other day. And I said, look, I hear you. I understand that Salt Lake City early this century was a disaster, that Beijing was a disaster, that Rio was a disaster. And we went through the whole thing, and I said, but I am interested in sort of what the abstract would be, what the long term would be. Are there any benefits? I'd love to see kind of the pitch. Anyway, long story short, Ted listened to Tommy and I's conversation on my podcast, and he wrote us a letter on Twitter, which is, I appreciate that. And the letter was long. He said that, Kevin and Tom, I listened and appreciated the conversation, wanted to put my thoughts down in response. And I'll read the letter. It is long, and I'm going to skip through some parts that I don't think are that significant because it'll take 10 minutes to read. But he writes, Kevin and Tom, I'm too old to be involved with a next generation bid for the Olympic Games in D.C., but I do have institutional knowledge about the process and hope a young, energetic leader locally can emerge willing to activate the community and go for it and take the risk in the slings and the arrows coming their way. The USOC must pay respect at some point to the hand that feeds them, federal DC. And our community has many of the same pieces that a Los Angeles has as to infrastructure, arenas, stadiums, airports, and universities. We are the most global destination in America, and we are accustomed to hospitality for tourists and VIP visitors. We are also the most secure destination on the planet. The games to be bid on, would most likely be held 20 to 24 years from now. And Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. will all support the games and host events. I bet even Virginia State Senator Louise Lucas will be supportive as events would be hosted across the region, including her district. Remember who Louise Lucas is. She's the one that essentially single-handedly killed the move of Ted's teams, the Caps and the Wizards, to Potomac Yards in Northern Virginia. He writes, Tom will still be writing for the Washington Times, and Kevin, you still may be hosting your show in 2044. I doubt it. But thanks for the confidence, Dad. But we need new, younger leaders. Of course we do. To think big and go for it in the community and country benefit. I would also advocate for the USOC to move its headquarters to D.C. so that it's front and center and can activate the federal government to aid our athletes much more than the present. The USOC is hiding in the mountains, and we do not do our athletes a service like other countries do. By the way, the USOC is based in Colorado Springs. And still, look at how productive and world-class our athletes produce in the games. And then he goes on to list, you know, Katie Ledecky, Michael Phelps, Noah Lyles, Quincy Wilson, etc. And then the final two paragraphs, which I will read in verbatim. And please muzzle the whiners that say, but the traffic, the heat, the investment, the white elephant buildings, lazy loser recycled complaints. I've watched the London games and now the Paris games closely. And while some games like Brazil did not help the economy as advertised, London and Paris were huge wins for all. Uplifted tech infrastructure, new public transportation, low-income housing, activated tourism, expanded city limits, created venues that are now used by the communities that they were erected in, cleaned up rivers, made waterways usable for commutes, and reintroduced London and Paris as world-class modern cities, filled with history and great engaging people, drove ongoing tourism, put people to work to stimulate the economies during the construction stages. I think we either make dust or we will eat dust as a community. Don't look back, Tom and Kevin, look forward, and let us all get motivated to be healthy and live long enough to cover the Greater Washington Games. Become cheerleaders for our community. Grow interest in sports and competition. Shine a positive light on our locale and people. It is a great life mission. So, you know, for starters, I do appreciate that it mattered enough to him to respond in the way he did, and I totally appreciate the response. There's a lot that I don't know to be true. Some of that I'll take as fact. Some of it, many people who read the letter have pushed back against some of the things. There are a couple of things. I mean, just, you know, nitpicking here. I don't think I needed the Olympics to know that London and Paris are world-class modern cities filled with history and great and engaging people. And I also wonder, is Washington the the number one tourist destination in the U.S. I would think New York is. I know that tourism, obviously, I'm from here. And by the way, I am and have always been a huge cheerleader for our community, for our city, the city that I was born and raised in. But tourism's the number two industry next to the federal government here. But I would imagine New York is more of a destination for global travel. But anyway, appreciate that he responded. I really do. And but there are a couple of things. So as I mentioned, I think that the thing that probably gets under his skin is just the idea that Tommy in particular, and me by extension, because I haven't studied this, just think that host cities ultimately lose in major ways when they host the Olympics. Look, I am clearly one of those lazy loser recycled complainers because I do remember a little bit about the 2024 bid, which Ted and Russ Ramsey kind of led the committee to generate the bid for DC for 2024, which they didn't get. Initially, Boston got it, and then it went to LA when Boston said, no, we actually don't want it. But I can't imagine personally that things like weather and traffic and transportation aren't part of the conversation when it comes to, you know, the USOC and then the IOC discussing which cities they would like to put the Summer Olympics in. I mean, I don't know anything about this, but intuitively, I would think that certainly, like, if Phoenix came to the table bidding for the Summer Games, they might say, yeah, we can't do that in August in that part of the country. It's too hot. Or if Miami, South Florida, or New Orleans, you know, came with a bid for the Summer Games, yet we'd be concerned about the prospect of a hurricane that could completely end the games. So we can't do those areas either. You know, traffic patterns. Tommy had made mention to me that New York's bid included a proposed Olympic stadium, brand new, built in the West Village. Like, that's unbelievable to think about it. If you've ever spent time in New York, in either the East or West Village, it's kind of tight. It's highly populated. It's very dense. It's very tight geographically. I would imagine that that would be part of the conversation. So, I don't know. Maybe it is lazy, loser, and recycled. But for me, it's more intuitive. Anyway, he wrote that the games in London were a huge success. Several of you all reached out, and Tommy mentioned it to me as well. The London games actually were a disaster financially. According to Yahoo Finance, the 2012 London games cost, the price tag was $18 billion, and the games themselves generated $5.2 billion. And much of the economic job gains really came in the construction stages. They were very short-lived. Many of those jobs disappeared. But I'm not an Olympic expert, and I am open to any of these conversations because I do think, you know, as I read Ted's letter, I do think that what he's talking about is more of the, you know, the things that you can't put your finger on that aren't necessarily quantifiable in the moment when the games end. Because there are more disastrous situations from a P&L standpoint after the games end in these host cities. But does it pay off long term? Because he writes, you know, that, you know, it uplifted tech infrastructure, new public transportation and low-income housing and activated tourism, expanded city limits, created venues that are now used by communities they were erected in, cleaned up rivers, made waterways usable for commutes, and reintroduced London and Paris as world-class modern cities. One thing that would be attractive to me, because this is my hometown and I've lived here my entire life, and as most of you know who have listened to me over the years, I do think that, you know, I think it's a great city. I think it's one of the most incredible cities to raise families in. And whenever we've had conversations about things like the Wizards and attracting free agents, it's always been, I don't get it. You know, because once players come here, they realize what a great city it is. So there is something attractive about the idea of the world being focused for 2 weeks on our city. And you know it would look beautiful, you know, at night, and the pictures and the shots. And it would do a lot for probably the image of the city, which, by the way, takes a hit outside of our area. You know, there's a lot that's said about our city that is not favorable from people outside. And then there's lots that is great about our city, and we know that. And look, tourism is huge here. So, and what the city would be left with in terms of, you know, the public transportation, the tech infrastructure, the tourism increases, the cleaned up rivers, etc. We would be left with stadiums. We know that. We'd have a football stadium. We'd have a new basketball arena. All those things would be good things. I'm very open to understanding a lot of that. But I also know that it's not, that there is a risk. You know, at the very least, the idea of hosting Olympics for 2 weeks, there is a risk in doing so. You know, somebody like Ted might say, actually, the risk is in not going for it. And I understand Ted's an entrepreneur, a lifelong entrepreneur, and nobody respects that more than I do because I was involved in 4 startups before I got into broadcasting. And I love people who are risk takers. And Ted's been a risk taker. And a lot of people around Ted and a lot of people with Monumental, they have their own entrepreneurial, you know, success stories to tout. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking forward and being a visionary and taking risks. But with respect to this, there is a risk associated with it. And I can't speak to the details of what would be involved in hosting it, but it would be 20 years away. So the one thing that I know Ted would benefit from in his lifetime and in my lifetime and the lifetime of many of you would be if his basketball team became a contender. that would be number one. Like, if he said, not that they're mutually exclusive, not that both things can't happen, but if he said you get your choice of the Olympics in 2040 or 2044 or an NBA championship contender from 2028 through 2038, I'll take the latter every day of the week. Every day of the week, twice on Sunday. That's what I want. That's what's important to me. The teams that he owns. You know, Tommy made the comment to me today on the podcast, which will air later on today, that he thinks this is, you know, Ted thinking about his legacy. And if he could get, you know, the 2040 games or the 2044 games or the 2048 games, whatever games they ended up being, that it would, you know, cement his legacy. And it would be an incredible thing that he's done for the community. And I don't know if it would play out that way or not. I think, you know, Ted's sports legacy, because there's a lot more to these people than we know, right? There's a lot that they're involved in from, you know, a charitable standpoint, from a, you know, an innovation standpoint that'll be part of their legacy with a lot of other people outside of our conversation. But for the purposes of our conversation, it comes down to we know them as sports owners. You know, he owns the Wizards and the Caps. And all due respect to his esports team and the Mystics and, you know, the network that he has, he owns the Wizards and the Caps, and that's what 98% of the people know him for and care about. And the legacy of Ted will be if he can turn the NBA team, the Wizards, around and turn it into a sustained contender. That would do more for his sports ownership legacy than anything else. Again, sports ownership legacy for him is just part of what his overall legacy would be. There would be people that would say that's just a small part of what Ted's been. I get that. But for us, it's about the Caps, who have won a Stanley Cup, but it's about sports ownership. And for me, more than anything else, the Wizards, which I have always said, and I still believe to this day, that in this city, which we have a good feel for, because those of us, those of you that are like me, that are from here, raised here, lived here, and have had our pulse on the sports part of this town, I think we all understand that this is, at its core, a basketball city. Now, from an entertainment standpoint, viewership standpoint, it's football, and it's the football team, and it always has been, and it probably always will be, given the continued growth and power of the National Football League. But at our core, we are a basketball team. By the way, Ted, at his core, is a basketball guy. You know, Brooklyn born and raised. He bought the Caps because it would give him the opportunity to own an NBA team. And if the Wizards could ever become a sustained year after year contender for an NBA championship, it would easily be the number two in this city. Wouldn't even be close. You'd be talking about Skins, Wizards, and then, as Coach Thompson used to say, count five steps before you get to what number three is. I think that. You know, things have changed, and baseball's become a big deal in our city. Hockey has always been what it's been. It has a very passionate, loyal following. But in terms of the overall viewers, it's not at anywhere near the level of football or basketball or baseball. Basketball, yes, in this town, because of the disastrous performance of the NBA team. But that, to me, is the most important thing. I hope that, and I'm sure he does, know how great it would be for him to leave at some point this earth having won an NBA title and contended for others. All right, that's it. That's what it was about for anybody willing or anybody wondering. And again, appreciate the back and forth with Ted, and have always, you know, been, you know, totally open to and have asked over the years for him to be available to come on with us. During the whole Potomac Yards thing, we asked multiple times. And, you know, he picks and chooses, which is fine. But I appreciate the back and forth, and I appreciate the fact that he was listening and is passionate about this. I honestly would just love to see the 2024 bid. Love to see what that presentation was and what it looked like from a numbers standpoint. That would be interesting to me. I don't remember, and I said this to Tommy earlier this morning as we recorded the podcast. I don't remember being having a lot of conversation about the 2024 Olympic bid. I remember when it was going on, it was the early 2010s, 2011, 2012, 2013. And I do remember that DC was, you know, a part of it. You know, DC was making a bid to the USOC. But I don't remember the conversation being significant, in part because I didn't think most of you, and I think it's true, most of you really cared as much, because I don't think you thought we would get the bid. You know, we did a poll the other day, right, Denton? We did a poll the other day that reflected that 61% of you would prefer not to have the Summer Olympics here. 39% would say yes. I'm not sure what my answer would be to that. I would need to see much more information, much more. I do think it would be a long shot, though, for DC to ever get the Olympics. All right, we got some NFL conversation. Who's under the most pressure entering 2024? Which team, which player, which coach? More on that next.
Major League Baseball, Nats lose to the Orioles 4-1. DJ Hertz pitched six innings, allowing two runs on four hits. He did strike out five. Elsewhere in the majors, Aaron Judge became the fastest player to hit 300 homers in MLB history, part of the Yankees' dominant win over the Chicago White Sox. In the NFL, the Patriots trade Matthew Judon to the Atlanta Falcons for a 2025 third-round pick. The expectation is that Judon's going to get a new contract in Atlanta. And then not-so-great news for some quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy is going to miss the entire season after surgery on his torn meniscus, so his rookie season coming to a very quick close. Matt Stafford out in Los Angeles left practice with the Rams with a hamstring injury. And that's what's trending.
Who's under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season? The answer can be a player, it can be a coach, it can be a franchise. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Who, what are under the most pressure entering this upcoming season? I've got a pretty long list here, Denton. I'll keep it to my top five. You've created a list as well. I'm going to go with my number one overall, and then you can give me your number one overall, and we can go from there. Okay. Number one overall, the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, the entire franchise, Mike McCarthy specifically will pay the price, but the Cowboys have to win two playoff games this upcoming season to basically not go into 2025 with massive changes. The Cowboys have been an absolute come-up-short franchise for now coming up on 30 years. They have had excellent regular seasons over the years. They are the most talked-about team year in and year out. They might be the most important team in the league for a lot of different reasons. But man, do they come up short when it matters most. And Jerry has essentially gone one more year with McCarthy. He's got Dak Prescott contractually hanging by a thread. He hasn't paid CeeDee Lamb yet. They didn't do much in the offseason because they didn't get a deal done with Dak, which would have allowed them to create some cap space to add some additional talent to that roster. The Cowboys' upcoming season, everybody associated with that franchise, but again, Mike McCarthy will be the guy that pays the price more than anybody else. He'll get fired if they don't win two playoff games. The Cowboys are under the most scrutiny, under the most pressure entering 2024. Who's your number one?
So I'm staying in the division, but I'm going to another team that we don't like that much. For me, it's Nick Sirianni. You weren't here last week. You were traveling and having a good time, but you weren't here when that story dropped on ESPN about the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. They don't like each other. And it's very obvious.
That story.
And I think we've seen in the past, Kevin, like where there are relationships that break down on a personal level. It doesn't even, it's the quarterback thinking the coach isn't good at the job. And when you bring in a guy like Vic Fangio on the defensive side and Kellen Moore and whatever you feel, like I'm not a huge, huge Kellen Moore guy, but at one point he was an up-and-coming, like, hot name in the coaching search. Vic Fangio has been a successful coach at the head position. Those are two guys that if things don't go well in the first couple weeks, hey, we got good replacements for you, Coach Sirianni. So I think Nick Sirianni's under the most pressure this year.
You think it's a bigger deal in Philadelphia and that there's more pressure on Sirianni than on Mike McCarthy? And just the Cowboys organization. Look, the Cowboys are becoming a caricature of themselves. They really are. Like, if I understand, and this is not with you Cowboy fans that I interact with. This is not about comparing your franchise to mine, okay? You've had a more successful franchise, obviously. And Jerry's been a better owner, much better owner than Dan ever was. But that's because Dan was the absolute worst, and we suffered. But you've suffered, too. Your organization is dysfunctional. He's way too meddling, way too involved. And for whatever reason, it manifests itself into so much internal pressure that you basically soil yourselves every postseason after looking like a team that could do damage. And I think it's just, I don't think it's a good situation. I don't think personally they're ever going to win a Super Bowl with Jerry Jones as an owner again. He's already got three to his credit, so you can't take those away from him. But they're really Jimmy's Super Bowls. The Cowboys situation, I get it. Sirianni's under a lot of pressure. By the way, if they don't play well this year, it's all on Sirianni, right?
All of it. I mean, their defense could suck again, and he's going to get blamed.
If Jalen Hurts has another, let's just say he has a step back year from last year, which was a big step back year from 22, it's Sirianni's fault, even with Kellen Moore in the fold.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, just because of the way that their relationship has already progressed, and you're not going to fire the OC before you fire the coach. I don't think if Jalen Hurts has a step back first 5 or 6 weeks and they're not 6-0 or whatever they are, Sirianni's on his seat is going to get scorching. The difference that I look at with the Eagles and Sirianni versus what you mentioned is the Cowboys is exactly what you just mentioned. It didn't feel like that they ever really thought Mike McCarthy was going to lead them to a Super Bowl. Whereas with Philadelphia, this time last year, we were thinking about Nick Sirianni as being one of the better coaches in the NFL. And now we're sitting here saying, this guy's, he is in trouble.
God, that is amazing. And it's so true. They lost the Super Bowl by a whisker, and they were, 10-1, 11-1.
Yeah.
Before it imploded. They had that win over, that great win over Josh Allen in Buffalo on Thanksgiving weekend in the mist and the fog at the link. That was such a great football game. And then it was downhill after that. Yeah. I mean, and Sirianni was thought to be great. Philadelphia is on my list, but they're not in my top three. We'll continue our list of teams, organizations, players, coaches under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Who's under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season? The answer can be a player, it can be a coach, it can be a franchise. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Who, what are under the most pressure entering this upcoming season? I've got a pretty long list here, Denton. I'll keep it to my top five. You've created a list as well. I'm going to go with my number one overall, and then you can give me your number one overall, and we can go from there. Okay. Number one overall, the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, the entire franchise. Mike McCarthy specifically will pay the price, but the Cowboys have to win two playoff games this upcoming season to basically not go into 2025 with massive changes. The Cowboys have been an absolute come-up-short franchise for now coming up on 30 years. They have had excellent regular seasons over the years. They are the most talked-about team year in and year out. They might be the most important team in the league for a lot of different reasons. But man, do they come up short when it matters most. And Jerry has essentially gone one more year with McCarthy. He's got Dak Prescott contractually hanging by a thread. He hasn't paid CeeDee Lamb yet. They didn't do much in the offseason because they didn't get a deal done with Dak, which would have allowed them to create some cap space to add some additional talent to that roster. The Cowboys' upcoming season, everybody associated with that franchise, but again, Mike McCarthy will be the guy that pays the price more than anybody else. He'll get fired if they don't win two playoff games. The Cowboys are under the most scrutiny, under the most pressure entering 2024. Who's your number one?
So I'm staying in the division, but I'm going to another team that we don't like that much. For me, it's Nick Sirianni. You weren't here last week. You were traveling and having a good time, but you weren't here when that story dropped on ESPN about the relationship between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. They don't like each other. And it's very obvious.
I read that story.
And I think we've seen in the past, Kevin, like where there are relationships that break down on a personal level. It doesn't even, it's the quarterback thinking the coach isn't good at the job. And when you bring in a guy like Vic Fangio on the defensive side and Kellen Moore and whatever you feel, like I'm not a huge, huge Kellen Moore guy, but at one point he was an up-and-coming, like, hot name in the coaching search. Vic Fangio has been a successful coach at the head position. Those are two guys that if things don't go well in the first couple weeks, hey, we got good replacements for you, Coach Sirianni. So I think Nick Sirianni's under the most pressure this year.
You think it's a bigger deal in Philadelphia and that there's more pressure on Sirianni than on Mike McCarthy? And just the Cowboys organization. Look, the Cowboys are becoming a caricature of themselves. They really are. Like, if I understand, and this is not with you Cowboy fans that I interact with. This is not about comparing your franchise to mine, okay? You've had a more successful franchise, obviously. And Jerry's been a better owner, much better owner than Dan ever was. But that's because Dan was the absolute worst, and we suffered. But you've suffered, too. Your organization is dysfunctional. He's way too meddling, way too involved. And for whatever reason, it manifests itself into so much internal pressure that you basically soil yourselves every postseason after looking like a team that could do damage. And I think it's just, I don't think it's a good situation. I don't think personally they're ever going to win a Super Bowl with Jerry Jones as an owner again. He's already got three to his credit, so you can't take those away from him. But they're really Jimmy's Super Bowls. The Cowboys situation, I get it. Sirianni's under a lot of pressure. By the way, if they don't play well this year, it's all on Sirianni, right?
All of it. I mean, their defense could suck again, and he's going to get blamed.
If Jalen Hurts has another, let's just say he has a step back year from last year, which was a big step back year from 22, it's Sirianni's fault, even with Kellen Moore in the fold.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, just because of the way that their relationship has already progressed, and you're not going to fire the OC before you fire the coach. I don't think if Jalen Hurts has a step back first 5 or 6 weeks and they're not 6-0 or whatever they are, Sirianni's on that. His seat is going to get scorching. The difference that I look at with the Eagles and Sirianni versus what you mentioned is the Cowboys is exactly what you just mentioned. It didn't feel like that they ever really thought Mike McCarthy was going to lead them to a Super Bowl. Whereas with Philadelphia, this time last year, we were thinking about Nick Sirianni as being one of the better coaches in the NFL. And now we're sitting here saying, this guy's, he is in trouble.
God, that is amazing. And it's so true. They lost the Super Bowl by a whisker, and they were, 10-1, 11-1.
Yeah.
Before it imploded. They had that win over, that great win over Josh Allen in Buffalo on Thanksgiving weekend in the mist and the fog at the Link. That was such a great football game. And then it was downhill after that. Yeah. I mean, and Sirianni was thought to be great. Philadelphia is on my list, but they're not in my top three. We'll continue our list of teams, organizations, players, coaches under the most pressure entering the 2024 NFL season when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care
of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.